that all good setters can do. Hampton Hines with the quick set kill.
Tiger 95 and 1340 KIJV are your home for Huron Tiger Sports.
Hines again. Set across Plagan. Left side. Throw the block. Huron at max point again. And he's looking right. Going to throw it that far sideline. Perfectly, 32 yards.
The Huron Tigers are brought to you by these first team. Sports backers.
The Huron Tigers are brought to you by Wilbur Ellis. Huron Community Campus. Slumberland Furniture. Rostrello Motors. Dairy Queen. Dakota Land Feeds, Huron Regional Medical Center, Carr Chiropractic Clinic in Huron, Real Estate Connection, by the Norby Center for Recreation, Ryan's Hangar Restaurant, Hartman Physical Therapy, Farmers Union Insurance of Huron, Lane Anderson, PB Sports, The Scoreboard, South Dakota Attorney General's Office, Gary Zell Auto Glass, First National Bank, and Kurtz Heating and Cooling.
Here's two-time South Dakota Sportscaster of the Year and the voice of the Huron Tigers, Jeff Duffy.
And good evening. It's football mode tonight. Huron Tigers, Yankton Bucks, quarterfinal, first round of the 11AA football playoffs. The two teams, of course, just played a week ago, and with the numbers crunched, we just have a rematch here a week later, just different facility at Crane Youngworth in Yankton. Huron comes in at 4-5, Yankton at 8-1. Obviously, Yankton the favorite here tonight, especially after a 56-21 win last week against the Tigers. Dave Corcoran joins us here again. And, Coach, kind of an odd situation. It's not unheard of, but it doesn't happen often going back-to-back like this during the, you know, for the end of the regular season, first round of the playoffs.
Well, like I say, it doesn't happen very often, but here we are. And we know what we're up against. We just played them last week, so there's going to be no secrets here. You know what you got to come out and do.
Now, this has happened before, but it's been a while. I remember back the old days, which weren't that long ago now, where we played well back-to-back at least once, if not twice, in that time. But, again, that's where they told us to play, so we'll play. And at least we get to play tonight, as there's a couple of games that had to be postponed today. But, you know, we don't have the best of weather here, but certainly looks like football weather.
Well, it is. At least it ain't white out here. We got the kind of misty and stuff like that, and it's a little chilly, but that's what we're in. That's what we're used to. This is what we expect when you get into the football playoff towards the end of the season.
You know, and I just think back, first four games of the season for sure, maybe even the fifth, I wore shorts. Not so much tonight.
Oh, if you do, you're tougher than tough, I can tell you that much. But, no, and we've got a little bit of a turns out the game.
Now, the wind is going to be, well, you look at the flag at the end, it's not moving much. Again, Crane Youngworth is in a residential neighborhood, basically a residential to our north behind us, and then to the south is the old Yankton College campus, which is minimum security prison. So, you know, we're kind of, I suppose, kind of like Mitchell, too, where it's in a residential area, so that might keep the wind at bay a bit.
Well, and then you look around, look at all the trees and how tall they are and how yes. thick they are together. That's going to cut a lot of things. If we have anything, I think maybe kind of swirl from once in a while, and you're just going to have to deal with whatever Mother Nature throws out at us, that's for sure.
Well, it might cut down the wind, but we're going to have the greasy skid stuff tonight, a light mist falling here in Yankton, but not that we're not expecting it, so it's just going to be a little chilly here. Talk to both coaches, Brady Muth, head coach of Yankton, our own Drew Strand of the Huron Tigers. Those interviews coming up. We'll take this time out on Dakota Sports, Tiger 95.
Is a leading provider of innovative solutions in plant protection, plant nutrition, and field technology. They offer premier products and one-on-one relationships with local field experts to help their customers grow. Wilbur Ellis is committed to bringing you and your operation new and innovative ideas. Contact your local Wilbur Ellis specialist today to find out how to maximize your return on investment. Wilbur Ellis wishes all area high school athletes the best of luck this season.
Brushing up, bettering yourself, or pursuing a degree? Huron Community Campus offers in-person classes at just $40 per credit hour plus fees. HCC offers courses through Northern State University, offering quality education at an exceptional value. To learn more, call Huron Community Campus at 605-353-8518. That's 605-353-8518.
You're listening to the Huron Tigers on Dakota Sports KIJV.
We continue our pregame report. 11AA playoffs, Huron Tigers at Yankton, and with Brady Muth, head coach of the Bucks. They finished out the regular season 8-1. They're the number two seed. Were tied for the one seed and fell to number two by tiebreaker to Pierre. And coach, basically 8-1 season. I would imagine the kids pretty much set out and did what the goals were when you first started up back in August.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you as you progress through the season, you're constantly checking your goal board to see where you're at. You know, our guys did a really good job of sticking to the plan and doing what they needed to do to find ways to achieve a lot of those goals. There's still a lot of goals yet to be achieved, but it's been a fun group to work with, and they've really exceeded expectations, to be totally honest with you, here in Yankton.
And now we get into the playoffs, and we kind of touched on this last week since, well, we visited last week because Huron just played Yankton last week and turn around play again a week later just down in Yankton instead of Huron. And kind of an unusual circumstance, but, you know, that's just how the playoffs are going to work sometimes.
Yeah, I can't remember ever having a situation where you played a team back-to-back, you know, with regular season, obviously, and then the playoffs. I'm sure it's happened before just with the playoff shakeout in South Dakota, but you know, definitely an interesting situation for sure.
Hey, when last week your boys got off quickly there, and old Coach Strand warned me you run a quick offense, but that was a little quicker than I thought. Obviously, when you go as fast as you guys go, everybody's got to be on the same page, and for the most part, it looked like you were.
Yeah, we had too many penalties, to be totally honest with you. You know, the penalty situation, we've got to get cleaned up, and some of that just happens. Sometimes when you go fast, you get a little bit, you know, some jitters and things like that. But, you know, everything that we do, whether it's in practice, especially offensively, everything's done on a clock. So there's tempo to everything. So, you know, especially when you get into this point in the season, our guys have gotten more comfortable with the speed at which we operate. But to be honest, we need to be going faster.
Well, you passed the ball very effectively last week against Huron. Talking to some of your radio guys, said you probably usually run a little more, but I imagine just the way Huron was playing defensively and what you saw, the pass just seemed to be working the best.
Yeah, you know, our offense really is built to take the opportunities that a defense presents itself. So we go into a game with essentially three game plans where we have option A, option B, option C, and then in any play, those options can show up. And I think our quarterback, Lucas Campshaw, did a good job of making sure we were in the right play. And you know, a lot of that is a credit to Huron's defense. You know, they played a very aggressive defense first time around, and blitz was heavy. And, you know, they got up in our face out on the perimeter and rolled their safeties down. And they had success doing it. And I expect more of the same. I expect, you know, this time around, there's going to be added pressure and tighter defense on the perimeter because they've got some athletes that can really get upfield and really, you know, they play physical football. It makes it tough for us.
You know, defensively, you had to be happy with the effort there, too. Huron did score three touchdowns but came fairly late in the game. And just seemed like you're always keeping Huron off balance. When you blitzed, it always seemed to be effective.
That, yeah, our blitz game, I thought we dialed up pressures in the right situation. You know, we try not to blitz or only blitz when it's, you know, it's a necessary thing to do. But I was really happy with the way our front four guys played. There's a lot of things to fix. You know, you go back and you watch film from that first game, you know, especially with the type of athletes that Huron has on the field offensively, there's, you know, enough times where we busted. Assignment-wise, we've got to be better than that if we expect to have the same result come Thursday night.
You know, and when you look at Huron's attack last week, it was kind of the opposite of you, where Huron's known as a timing pass spread offense, but yet it seemed like the run was working a little better for the Tigers last week.
Yeah, and I think that's a credit to their offensive line, definitely a credit to their running back, and both you know, both their running back and their quarterback, you know. Number four didn't carry the ball all that much against us. I expect that to change just because he is a dynamic athlete. He can do a lot when he's got the ball in his hands. But, you know, number 15, Cuddell, he's a big physical runner, and it's a task to get him down on the ground. And so, you know, that's one thing when we go back and we look at it, the amount of success they had running the football, we've got to do a better job in the box. And what makes that so tough is the guys out wide in the perimeter for Huron play really, really good football. And so you've got to be able to get in a situation where you can take care of the box. You know, seven guys, you start to roll a safety down in the box, which unfortunately we had to do a couple times just to help with run support. And that's when big pass plays happen. So we've got to do better stopping the run and just play more sound team defense.
And wrap it up with this. You know where you're at now. You know what needs to happen here as the playoff field is set. You're second seed. You're on seventh seed. I know it's a cliche, but Huron can come in where they can try to put the pressure on you because you're expected to win, and Huron's going to come to play.
We completely expect the Tigers to show up and give us a heck of a game. Everybody, you can take records and throw them out the window when we get to this point in the season. Everybody is playing for their life, and, you know, sometimes there's desperation in there. You know, it doesn't matter what seed you're at. You're going to do what you need to do to win the football game. And you know, we are primed for this. We know that Huron is a good football team. You know, when you break down the scoring, there's 28 points that came off of turnovers. Well, if you do the math, take those 28 points off the board, it's a heck of a lot closer game than what the scoreboard shows. And we know that, and our guys know that. And so, you know, this is not a situation where we're going to overlook anybody. We know we're in for a dogfight, and we know Huron's going to come ready to play.
Brady Muth, head coach of Yankton, will talk with Huron Tiger coach Drew Strand next on Dakota Sports Tiger 95. This Huron Tiger moment, class of 80, Patricia Ann Buckingham. Ann Buckingham was ESC and state high jump champion. She held the state record for the high jump when she graduated. She's also part of two state championship relays, was a starter on the girls' basketball team. After graduation, she was South Dakota's first female to receive an appointment to West Point. She competed in track for the cadets. Patricia Ann Buckingham is a member of the Huron High School Hall of Fame.
The Huron Tiger scoreboard update is brought to you by Kurtz Heating and Cooling in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brand. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Tiger 95 and 1340 KIJV are your home for Huron Tiger sports.
We continue our pregame as we get set for first round 11AA playoffs. Huron Tigers at Yankton, rematch of just 1 week ago. Huron at number 7 seed, Yankton at number 2. And, Coach, I guess we'll just talk about the most obvious thing. Not often two football teams play back-to-back 1 week to the next, and well, in 11AA in particular, you know, the possibility is there, but it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some look at it as, you know, what happened last week. But, you know, for our guys, they've experienced it. They know what it's about now. And they, you know, they kind of came in shell-shocked against the first time. So, you know, sometimes it's tough to worry about playing a team that you played in week one just because how much they grow and both teams change over the course of the season. So, you know, we're looking at it as a positive thing of being able to go back there and, you know, just kind of show them, you know, who we actually are. I didn't think last week when we played them, we didn't show them, you know, who the true Huron Tigers were. We were kind of scared and timid that game. So hopefully our guys are a little more focused and, you know, just be more competitive and ready to go.
You know, and one thing we did see was we were able to run the ball, especially in the first half, and you saw a few things there that, you know, maybe we can keep that going.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we can keep that positive run game going and just, you know, hopefully kind of that way we can keep their offense off the field and don't let them air it out as much. And we just got to pick our better downs of when we're going to throw the ball and, you know, look for those shots and just stay steady with our run game tonight.
You know, and time of possession could be the key stat because they can't score if they don't have the ball.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to stop an explosive offense is just try to control the ball and, you know, hopefully we have that opportunity and our guys that are linemen, you know, that we're behind all season, and those senior linemen can just continue to grind all night with them and, you know, just continue to get a push. I tell them every time we need 3 yards because fourth and one will go for it. So hopefully we can stay with that MO and just kind of ride that out the whole game.
And avoid mistakes, turnovers. I think Coach Muth just said they scored 28 points off four turnovers, which is something a good team does. But on the other hand, you can't hand a team like Yankton extra opportunities like that.
Yep. I mean, turnovers and penalties killed us last week. I know a lot of the times, you know, it feels like when they were getting penalties or when we were getting penalties against us, their drives kept moving and it didn't kill their drives. But on the other hand, when we were on offense or whatever, defense, and we took a penalty, then all of a sudden it was like their drive kept going or our drive would kind of stop. So if we can kind of just hold ourselves accountable, focus there, I think our team will be all right. And then get rid of the turnovers. I know one of them came off of like a fourth down, throw it up kind of play. So, you know, just not flipping the field and letting them have the short field and making them drive all the way. So hopefully we can, you know, hound down on those things and just take control of the ball.
You know, defensively last week, just plain and simple, we are just too passive. You know, Yankton is not normal, doesn't normally throw that much, but it was just there for him. And, you know, we just were more worried, it seemed like, keeping him in front of us than actually defending it.
Yep, it was almost like we didn't want to get burned deep, so we just let him throw the short game stuff. So, you know, hopefully our guys come out with a little more competitiveness, a little more edge, you know, since they put up so many yards against us last week. So, you know, our guys, you know, they're playing more physical, a little tougher, so hopefully that shows tonight.
You know, now Holden Haig, he did sit out last week. He's going to give it a go tonight on a defense anyway, because, you know, and on defense, we're just better when you can just match both Holden and Colby there in those middle two linebackers.
Yep, I mean, with those two in there, they're both hard-nosed kids, and they go after it, and they key their keys. So they usually find the ball, and the ball usually funnels to them. So without both of them in there, it's kind of tough. So hopefully tonight with those two possibly in there tonight, you know, it'll look really good, and we'll see where we're at with Holden and see if he can full go or not yet. But, you know, he's worked his tail off, and whatever the outcome is for tonight, you know, he's done a fantastic job, not only for this program, but for his seniors and for this team.
And also, I always say, when we get to this stage of the season, it is the postseason. It's a game for the seniors because they know they, in order for them to put the black and white and orange on again, they got to win. And so hopefully there's some urgency on that.
Yep, and it's one of those things you never want to regret that. You know, not going out and giving it your all, you know, and I think this group of seniors have done a fantastic job of, you know, overcoming the adversity that we've had to overcome and just continue to compete every play. So, you know, I'm looking for these guys to go out tonight and really put the team on their back and just kind of show these younger guys and just push ahead because, you know, I don't think a lot of these seniors and all the time that they put in, they deserve to keep moving on and keep playing. So hopefully tonight they can really show that out there and show who the Huron Tigers are and just get after it.
And I know it's a cliche, but again, we're 7, they're 2. That puts the pressure on their shoulders. We have nothing to lose here.
Yep, nothing to lose for us. I mean, just go out, have fun, and, you know, just be excited to keep playing football. You know, I know a lot of teams now that AA has gone to 11. Some teams don't get to go out there. So, you know, for our guys to finally get that opportunity again and get back out on playoffs, just a huge step for us and a huge step for our program and our kids. So hopefully we can get the community to back us tonight and just have an exciting game for these kids and they can just fly around and play hard.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Lineups. Anthem opening kickoff coming up on Dakota Sports Tiger 95.
Are you ready for a new era in orthopedic care? HRMC introduces Dr. Kevin Hofer, a proud Huron native, bringing revolutionary orthopedic care to our community. Dr. Hofer offers expertise in robotic-assisted surgery for less pain and a faster recovery. Superior orthopedic care is available locally. Join us in welcoming Dr. Hofer and embracing the future of orthopedics. HRMC, the right care is right here.
The Huron Tigers scoreboard update is brought to you by Kurtz Heating and Cooling in Huron.
When is the right home truly the right home? This is Reg Kleinsasser with the Real Estate Connection. First, can you afford it? Beyond the purchase price, you need to consider utility costs, maintenance costs, and property taxes. All of these factors add to the actual cost of a new home. Does the home meet your needs? Buying a large house when your kids are heading off to college in a few years or paying for a view of the lake when you are hardly home probably doesn't make sense. At the Real Estate Connection, we are dedicated to helping you find a home that meets your needs without breaking your budget. We're ready to help you find the right home today. Give us a call, 352-1300, or visit our website, realestatehuron.com.
South Dakotans, due to the recent flood, hail, and windstorms, many of you have damage and are in need of making repairs. When it comes to making the decision of who to hire to complete the repairs, you should always check with the Department of Revenue to ensure they're licensed to do business in South Dakota. And you should check with Consumer Protection to see if any complaints have been filed against the company. And finally, never sign anything until you read all the details. Rule of thumb, when someone knocks on your door to sell you a product or service, they need to provide you with a three-day right to cancel. Go to consumerfd.gov and look under transient vendors or call 800-300-1986.
We're minutes away from play-by-play. Let's meet the Huron Tigers.
My name is Tane Bischoff. I am number 14 for the Huron Tigers, and I play wide receiver.
Caston Caudill, number 15, running back, outside linebacker.
Ethan Bush, number 21, wide receiver and safety.
Gavin Moding, number 23, wide receiver and defensive back.
CJ Ganey, number 18, wide receiver, defensive back.
Tyson Fitzer, number 24, wide receiver, linebacker.
Holden Haig, number 32, middle linebacker, tight end.
Ethan Olsen, 42, safety, running back.
Okay, two, number 51, offensive line, defensive end.
William Davis, 54, PN, and left tackle.
Jake Shear, 60, O-line, D-line.
Locker Paw 2, 65, offensive and defensive lineman.
Connor Johnson, 75, right guard, DN.
D. Jackson Reynolds, number 78, O-line, D-line.
Brian Ramirez, a.k.a. Chumley, number 79, offensive guard and nose tackle.
Nick Kleinsaucer, number 89, and kicker.
Here's two-time South Dakota Sportscaster of the Year, and the voice of the Huron Tigers, Jeff Duffy.
And we're back here at Crane Youngworth, just finishing up the national anthem. We'll get the lineups, and we're getting very close to kickoff here. Huron Tigers, Yankton Bucks, 11AA playoffs, first round, quarterfinal, whatever you want to call it. Going to be a light drizzle here, I would imagine, all night. You can kind of see it against the lights. Nothing heavy, but it is certainly wet and will have an effect on the game, especially when it comes to ball handling and that sort of thing. Here's the starters for the two teams on offense. Yankton, their head coach, is Brady Muth. The tackles, and they got some wonderful names here in the offensive line. Tackles are Caden Warovnik. I'm sure I got that right. And Lucas Cordell. The guards, let me check my pronunciation list here again. Mark Cottle, along with Peyton Eustache. I believe I said that right. And the center is Vaden Greel. Did you get all that?
You have to. I don't.
Wide receiver, Carson Ness. Tight end, Tucker Gilmore. Slot back, Austin Goble. H-back, Matthew Sheldon. Running back, Evan Cirk. And the quarterback is Lucas Camshaw. For the Huron Tigers, starting an offense, the tackles, Liam Davis, Hunter Fenske. The guards, Brian Chumley Ramirez and Connor Johnson. And the center, the Jackson Reno. Wide receiver, C.J. Ganey, Logan Leyendecker, and Gavin Moding. Tight end is Colby Hofer. Running back, Cashin Caudill, and quarterback is Colton McNeil. Drew Strand, the head coach of the Huron Tigers. Officials for our game are backed by the South Dakota Attorney General Office, Consumer Affairs Division. And calling our game tonight, Steve Mayer, Peyton Mueller, John Ruvers, Steve Siegel, and Connor Singhuizen. I know Mayer is from Vermilion. They are the law on the field tonight. And backed by the South Dakota Attorney General Office, Consumer Affairs Division. So, Coach, I don't know if wind's going to be a real huge factor, at least here to start the game. I know the winds are supposed to come up as we get into the evening and into the nighttime hours, maybe not so much here down to the south, but definitely it's going to be slick conditions, whether you're running or trying to handle a football. The officials will do their best to keep the ball dry, but it's just going to be a steady drizzle, but I call it football weather.
Well, exactly what it is. You expect this when you get down to the end of the season like this. This is what we run into. So everybody's, and the thing is, everybody's got the same thing. There's nobody getting anything different here. You know, we're going to do what you got to do. And it's going to dictate a little bit part of how the game goes, but that's just why you play it.
Here on Tigers wearing all white tonight with orange numbers and black trim. A few black and orange stripes here and there. And Yankton tonight, they look like a traditional Yankton team. They got white pants with a red stripe, then the red jerseys with white numbers and not much else to the jerseys. Kind of Penn State, but just in red instead of the navy blue that they normally do. And I know they wore black uniforms once this year, and well, at least one of my radio friends was not impressed with that. I thought black was actually part of Yankton's color scheme, but I guess it's just strictly red and white.
Well, and like I say, everybody does a little bit different version. They try to do this and do that, but
Everybody thinks they have to wear black, whether it's one of their colors or not, looking at UP here in south of South Dakota State.
Oh, yeah, they just, whatever. Whatever their reason is, I guess it's their reason, but doesn't always fit. But nice thing about it is we can read those numbers. That's
yes.
The big thing.
Yeah, we've had pretty good luck with that this year. In fact, I've had maybe a few more issues with the Huron numbers being orange than most of our opposing teams tonight. So, yep, I will agree with that. I do wish Yankton had the stadium numbers, I call it, the ones on the shoulder pads. Those can be helpful, but you can't have everything.
No, they don't always think of what we need up here.
Now, this is one of just two games in 11AA tonight, as the other is Aberdeen at Watertown. The other two were postponed due to the bad weather out west. Spearfish at Pier and Sturgis at T area will be played tomorrow due to the bad weather out west. There's a third game that got called off too. Stevens at Sioux Falls Lincoln. They're playing tomorrow as well. When I understand, Sturgis did leave this morning but turned around and went back home. And Stevens left, or at least got started, and were in a minor fender bender, and they quit. And then that pretty much held Spearfish's hand that, yeah, we better not go.
Well, if the other ones can't go, you shouldn't go either. And it's tough enough driving on that ice with a car or a pickup. Try a coach bus.
Yes.
that's not fun at all.
Now, as far as I know, I guess I haven't checked for a while, Rapid City Christian did make the trip to Clear Lake to duel. And also Hot Springs is going to make it, or did make it, to Sioux Valley. But they also pushed the kickoff back an hour, Hot Springs at Sioux Valley, due to the slow going that Hot Springs had, at least when they got going.
Well, exactly. You're gonna fight the weather. And bless their heart for trying it. They made it work. But you got to get home yet, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I would imagine the road isn't going to be that much better. Well, it was like Huron was sending out All-State Orchestra and Chorus tonight to Rapid City. Or that was the plan, last we heard.
Yeah.
So, yep, we got all that fun stuff going on as well. We're coming up on 6 o'clock. This is KIJV, AM-FM in Huron. And I'm Jeff Duffy. He's Dave Corcoran. We'll be calling our game here tonight as they have done the flip. And Yankton won the toss deferred, just like last week. So Huron will get the ball first, just like last week. And we'll get our game kicked off here very shortly. So final thoughts, Coach, again. I always call this a game for the seniors, because you have to battle here if you want to see your days in black, orange, and white move to another week. It's going to be, you know, you're not favored, but we can live with that.
Well, that's okay. Sometimes being an underdog isn't such a bad thing, because like we talked earlier with you and Coach Strand, the pressure's not on us.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing. We ain't got nothing to lose if we go there, play loose, have fun, do your thing. Yankton's the one that's got to be careful, because if we catch momentum, which we're very capable of doing, as things start going, we can light things up in a short period of time.
And I can remember not that long ago we came here to Yankton with a number 6 seed against the second-seeded Bucks and won.
Yep, so anything's possible. That's why we play it.
So Huron will receive the ball to my left. C.J. Ganey is back deep to receive, along with Gavin Moding, and on the kick for Yankton is Josue Trujillo. He was busy last week with all the touchdowns Yankton scored. We'll see if we can have him on the field so much tonight. Ready to go. As Yankton kicking off from right to left on the radio dial. The kick, a line drive, going to bounce at the 20, go through Caudill's legs, all the way back to the 7, finally picked up by Moding. He weaves his 3, left sideline, he's got a little room, and gets something out of nothing up to about the 23-yard line or so. Well, that's one of those things when you let when the ball hits the ground like that, there's a reason why a football is 2 points on each end. You don't know where it's going to go.
And exactly. And then I thought, well, we got back there, and he did a great job of using his sideline and his blockers and got a pretty good run out of it.
First and 10 Huron from the 23-yard line, their own 23, as we'll get our first offensive snap of the game. Pistol formation. Here comes the blitz straight up the middle. Caudill. And gets a couple of yards on extra effort. He was hit immediately by number 70, Edley Amaro, but Cashin kept his legs moving and actually got 3 yards out of it. It'll be second down and 7 in a perfect world. You run the ball tonight just due to the weather conditions, and we really don't want Yankton to have offense to have their hands on the ball any more than possible. But there's Caudill straight ahead, and he's going to be dropped for a loss on second down. Maybe got back to the line of scrimmage. First man in was Riker Frang for Yankton. No gain on the play. And here on set with a 3rd and 7 here on the opening series of the game. See if it's our first pass of the night as Colt McNeil will stay in that pistol. We go 3 receivers right, 1 left. And Caudill is the pistol back. Short drop and throw over the middle to Moding. Complete first down. Just that quick slant over the middle, and Gavin needed to get a couple of more yards. He did. Huron moves the sticks, and a first down. Nice, safe pass. Gavin, you know, didn't get a lot of looks last week, and a lot of that due to the Yankton defense, but there we find him right away over the middle. First and 10 at the 35-yard line. First and 10 Huron. As they notch a first down from the 35, trips right again. One receiver left. And run the option, flip back to Caudill, trying to turn the corner, and a flag on the play, and I think this is going to be a hold against the Huron Tigers. The Caudill had a little trouble getting a handle on the pitch, and I think this is going to be a hold on Logan Leyendecker, who was trying to get the seal block on the outside. The way it is, it's a loss of 2 on the play, and we'll see if they walk it off or if we let's go 2nd and 12. Well, Huron's backing up, and I thought the official was saying decline, but maybe not. So first penalty of the game, a 10-yard hold against Huron. Yep, it was on Leyendecker. I thought I saw him there with kind of the arms around the shoulder pads. So first and 20, back to the 25-yard line for the Huron Tigers. We're just underway, not quite 2 minutes into the game. Opening possession of the game. Caudill straight up the middle, puts the shoulder down. Crawl was the first one in there for Yankton. He had some help from other red jerseys. Again, about 3 yards on the play. We'll give him 4 up to the 29. It'll be second down and 16 for Huron from their own 29-yard line. Huron trying to overcome an early penalty after getting a first down. Second down and long, our slot right, pistol formation, roll to the right, looking is McNeil. He'll throw short, the pass tipped, and then Moding caught it, but they say incomplete, out of bounds. It was tipped by Kobe Ofer. Moding was right behind him and had a chance, and Moding kind of patting Kobe on the head. Maybe Kobe wasn't supposed to try and catch that.
I think maybe it was kind of, you know, he didn't be in the spot, but boy, I tell you what, almost worked out for him.
So instead, 3rd and long, 3rd and 16 for Huron on the opening possession of the game. And again, hard to convert these. You don't have a lot of 3rd and 16 plays, but you might just send a couple of receivers deep and just throw it down there and see if you can come up with a play. 3rd and 16 from the 29-yard line. Straight drop, some time for McNeil. Throw short and should have been intercepted. Ball went right into the midst of Matthew Sheldon, and he dropped it.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I'm not sure where we were going with that. There was not a white jersey in the vicinity, and very fortunate. That's all it is an incomplete pass. 4th down, and Colby Hofer will have to punt with 9:24 to go in the first quarter.
And he seemed like he had a lot of daylight there.
Yeah. I'm not going to say a touchdown. Nothing's ever a certain touchdown, but he would add some room. Here's the punt, nearly blocked. Nice high kick by Colby Hofer and a fair catch by Zarbach. And Yankton will get the ball first and 10 at about their own 42-yard line. 9:18 to go in the first quarter, and the Bucks have the ball for the first time. First and 10 for Yankton. We'll call it their own 41-yard line, and they're right at the line. And they want to snap the ball, and there is an active play clock here that Yankton, I don't think, needs. Kamshoff, straight drop on first and 10. Going to throw deep, far sideline, has a man open. It's complete at the 25, down to the 20 and 15. Pass complete to number 12, Carson Ness. And they go deep on first down, and a first and 10 for Yankton all the way down to the 21-yard line. That's a gain of 38 yards, and it was just a deep pass on that far sideline. First and 10 from the 21, straight up the middle, and a big hole for the running back, Cirque, and he's going to get 8 or 9 on the play up the middle. And Yankton comes out firing, and again, they're right back to the line, and they don't waste any time. Gain of 8 for Cirque. It's 2nd and 2 for Yankton. From the 13-yard line, they send some motion. Kamshoff looking left, flushed out, throws it away. His man closest to the ball was Sheldon, but I think that was just more a throwaway as Colby Ofer had a good rush on him. It'll be 2nd down or 3rd down. They got 4th down up there on the field, but I think this should be 3rd down. 3rd and 2, or is it 4th and 2? Yeah, it should be 3rd and 2, I'm sure.
Now they're changing it over there.
So 3rd down, and Kamshoff, empty backfield, rolls to the left, throws short, and overthrows his target. Pass intended for Peyton Peterson, and now it'll be 4th down and 2. So Yankton gets 8 yards on the first down rush and then throw it incomplete twice. Now they got to convert here on 4th down, and they're not going to bring Trujillo in. They're going to go for it here on 4th and 2, pistol formation from the 13-yard line. Kamshoff going to run the option, keep it himself. He's hit, and he's going to be dropped. Lost the ball. Either way, it's going to be here on ball as the defense makes the play. Holden Haig was there. Hunter Fenske was there, and the Tiger defense holds. Going to be a loss back to about the 16-yard line. A loss of 4, and boy, Huron snuffed that out immediately.
Oh, boy, they were right there. That was exactly picture-perfect how you would cover that.
8:33 to go in the first quarter, and Huron a nice stand after a big play on the first throw of the game for Yankton. Huron will get it back, 1st and 10 at their own 16-yard line, 8.5 minutes to go. Handoff up the middle, Caudill breaks it out right up the right hash, past the 20, runs over a guy up to the 23, and all of a sudden a little pep on that Huron sideline now. Caudill runs hard for about 7. It'll be 2nd down at the 23-yard line. 2nd down and 3 from the 23-yard line. Tiger defense makes a play. Now let's see if the offense can carry some momentum. 2nd down and 3 from the 23. McNeil going to keep it himself, puts the head down. He's going to be caught right at the line and dropped. I think they've been trying to get Colton, just run hard and, you know, not try to pick your spot, and that's kind of what he did there, and Yankton was able to envelope him. Now Huron faced with a 3rd and 3 after no gain on the run by McNeil. Maybe got a yard out of it. We'll call it 3rd and 2 from the 24 for Huron. Huron comes with 2 receivers right, wing right, 1 receiver left. Now Hofer shifts from right to left at the wing on 3rd and 3. And handoff straight up the middle. Caudill breaks through. 1st down and more. Drop the ball. It's on the ground, still on the ground, and Yankton covers it. Huron trying to lobby that Caudill was down, but I don't think he was, and he comes up slowly as well, holding that left arm, and it is a fumble. Huron had the 1st down, but then the fumble lost, and Yankton will get the ball 1st and 10 at the Huron 34 with 7:16 to go in the first quarter. So now the Tiger defense going to be asked to make a play again. 1st and 10 from the Huron 34-yard line, right in front of me. Kamshoff, straight drop, looking to Goble. Now he goes over the middle, pass is complete. Gainey got there just a hair late. Pass complete to Tucker Gilmore. Going to be a gain of about 8 on the play, 2nd and 2. And here's Yankton right back up to the ball, and they're going to go quickly here at 2nd and 2 from the 26-yard line. Pistol eye and handoff to the fullback this time, and maybe enough for the first down. He's rode down by, I believe, Fitzer on the play. And they're going to say just a yard gain on the play for the fullback there. I believe, did not see who the fullback was there, but just a gain of 1 yard on the play. And 3rd and 1 for Yankton from the 24-yard line, 3rd and about half a yard. Straight up the middle goes Cirk, 1st down and more inside the 20, down to the 19. Tackle made in the middle by the Huron Tigers. Trying to see who that was. It was Hunter Fenske, but a 1st down for Yankton up to the 19-yard line, gain of 5. And off Cirk again, straight up the middle again, 4 or 5 yards. Caught at the 15-yard line. Quick handoff there, Caudill on the stop. Cirk with 5, it'll be, or Cirk with 4, it'll be 2nd and 6 from the 15. Yankton gets quickly into their formation again. Shotgun for Kamshoff. Kamshoff looking right, rolls to the right, throws to the end zone for Goebel. Off his hands, well defended by Logan Leyendecker. And it'll be 3rd and 6 for Yankton at the 15-yard line. 5:53 to go in the first quarter, no score. Yankton threatening, though. Huron got to stop once deep in their own territory. Can they do it again? 3rd and 6, shotgun for Kamshoff. Long count, he's looking right. Again, throws that corner, and the pass complete. Zarbach, he spins and takes it in for the touchdown. Zarbach ran a nice little stop route. He stopped right in front of Leyendecker and then was able to take it in for the score. And Yankton on the board first, 6-0, with the extra point coming on the 15-yard touchdown pass to Cohen Zarbach. Trujillo on to kick the extra point. Score comes with 5:47 to go in the first quarter. 6-0 with the extra point pending for Yankton. Low snap. Trujillo gets the kick up, though, and the kick is good. 7-0 Yankton, 5:47 to go, first quarter. We'll take a timeout of 30 seconds on Dakota Sports.
Hi, I am Tyson Lean. As a college wrestler, I push my body to the limit every day. But after a few injuries, I started to feel like I wasn't performing at my best. That's when I turned to Carr Chiropractic and their team of experts. Through a combination of adjustments, rehab, and natural supplements, I was able to recover faster, reduce my pain, and improve my overall performance on the mat. Whether you're an athlete or just looking to improve your health, I highly recommend giving Carr Chiropractic a try.
Tiger 95 and 1340 KIJV are your home for Huron Tiger Sports.
Yankton 7, Huron 0, and Coach, we talked about in the pregame, turnovers are what killed us last week. Turnover there, Yankton turns into points, and it just when it felt like Huron had some momentum.
Well, things were going the right way, and they coughed the ball up, but you know, that's what we think we've got to protect. We've got to make sure to protect that and quit turnovers there. Yankton's very good. They'll turn those into points about every time.
Well, they certainly did there. And now Yankton getting set to kick off and trying to see if that's Ganey is one man back deep. I can't tell if that's Gavin Moding or not, the other. In any case, Trujillo is kicking off. High kick end over end, and Bubba Peterson will field it at the 3-yard line. He's coming up the right hash. Turns up to the middle of the field, 15, and up to about the 22. And that's where the Tigers will take over, 1st and 10. So Huron basically has 2 first downs, I guess, officially. I don't give Huron a first down as we fumbled after getting the first down on the last possession. But got to string together a possession here and mostly just keep the ball out of the hands of that Yankton offense. It's 1st and 10 from their own 22-yard line. Yankton up 7-0. We're early or midway through the first quarter. Pistol formation. At this point, you don't go away from what you want to do. Here's the flip out on the flat, and the ball, I think, was deflected by Yankton. Getting their Amaro as we're trying to get it out into the flat. Incomplete. It'll be second down and 10 from the 22. So far here on with the passing game, pretty much keeping it safe. But again, Yankton also can bring a lot of pressure if they want. They haven't blitzed a whole lot here to start the game. Second down and 10 from the 22 for the Tigers. Two receivers left, one right. Pistol formation for McNeil. Caudill behind him on second down. And straight up the middle is Caudill. He gets stood up, breaks one tackle, still on his feet. Struggles forward to about the 24. He worked hard to get 1 or 2 yards on the play as he got hit by a couple of different bucks. The first one there was Gilmore, but Caudill was able to get away from him. But the end result is he broke a couple of tackles to get 2 yards. It's 3rd and 8 from the 24-yard line for the Huron Tigers. 5:10 to go in the first quarter. Yankton up 7-0. They converted a Huron turnover into points. As McNeil will stay in that pistol. Two receivers left, one right on 3rd and 8. Snap is there, straight drop, looking left. Does a little pump, rolls out to the left, still looking, throws far sideline, threw it away. Just nothing was there and thought, well, let's throw it away and at least punt the ball away. Incomplete, it'll be 4th and 8. And Huron set the punt for a second time here to Yankton in the first quarter. Zarbach, who caught the touchdown pass, he's back deep to receive the kick from Colby Hofer. Colby had a nice kick on his first punt of the game. Long snapper is Charlie Martin. We've had about 2 or 3 different long snappers this year. Charlie Martin getting the duty here in the playoff game. Snap on target, big rush, high kick, short kick, bounces at the 42, goes kind of sideways. Still going sideways, finally up to about the 45, so just a punt of 21 yards. And again, Yankton is set up with good field position. So they'll have it 1st and 10 at the Huron 45-yard line, 4.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, and Yankton leading 7-0. And Yankton again right at the line as they want to snap just as soon as the official allows them to do so. Campshoff. Looking to throw. He's looked short. Now he comes back to the left. Still looking. Pumps, throws in the middle. Intercepted. C.J. Gainey with the pick. Campshoff, it looked like he could have run, and he was just trying to be greedy, I think. And C.J. Gainey just read that perfectly, picked it off, and Huron will get the ball back. 1st and 10 at their own 41-yard line. So a big play by the Huron defense. They made a couple of them here in the first quarter. Now can the Huron offense get things going? Set up 1st and 10 at their own 41-yard line. Pistol formation. Hand off Caudill up the middle. Has a bit of a hole, but then it gets plugged up after a gain of about 3 on the play. Matthew Sheldon on the stop for Yankton. Gain of 3. It'll be 2nd down and 7 from the 44-yard line. Nearing 4 minutes to go in the first quarter, Yankton up 7-0. We have a steady, I'd call it drizzle. You can look up into the lights and just see it lightly falling. Not much for wind here tonight, so that's something I kind of think we thought we would be dealing with, but really not. 2nd down and 7 from the 44-yard line. Pistol, handoff. Caudill past the 45, rolls forward to the 49, gets 5 on the play, and that will set up 3rd and 2 near midfield. Be huge for the Tigers to convert a first down here and get the ball into Yankton territory. 3rd and 2, though, right at midfield, and kind of a tough play call which way you want to go. Huron's had some success running the ball. Throwing the ball, we're just 1 of 5 for 9 yards. But again, a short pass would do the trick here. On 3rd and 2, pistol, and McNeil going to keep it himself, kind of hesitates, puts the shoulder down, and he should have the first down. He kind of fouled Caudill, and I think he almost waited too long for Cashton to get there. But it is a first down all the way up to the Yankton 48. Gain of 4 on the play. 1st and 10 Huron in their first snap on the Yankton side of the 50-yard line, inside of 3 minutes to go here in the first quarter. Pistol formation again and again. Caudill up the middle, trying to work the blocks here, and he's going to get to about the 45 again. It's nothing flashy, but 2, 3, 4 yards. We'll take that.
You don't have to be flat. Just like I said, just grind it out. And the best thing we're doing here is, one, we're moving down the field, and two, we're keeping Yankton's high-powered offense on the sideline.
Second and 7 from the 45 for the Huron Tigers. As I look into the lights, I think the drizzle is getting a little more drizzly than it was before. Second down and 7 from the Yankton 45 for the Huron Tigers. And a mix-up in the backfield. Caudill finally gets the carry, and he'll get a couple of yards out of it. Either McNeil turned the wrong way or Caudill went the wrong way. McNeil turned left, and Caudill was coming on the right side. Cashin actually came around him, grabbed the ball, and still got 2.
So something positive out of that.
Yeah, basically a broken play. It'll be 3rd and 5 from the 43-yard line of Yankton. Pistol formation, 2 receivers right, 1 left. And handoff, Caudill hit right at the line, going nowhere. Crawl was in there immediately for Yankton. Sheldon helped finish it off. Might even be a loss on the play. There is a loss of a yard. Back to about the 44.5. It's going to be 4th and 6 for Huron. Right now, the offense staying on the field. 1:10 to go in the first quarter. And Corky, you got nothing to lose as the number 7 seed. Try to convert at the Yankton 44.
Oh, exactly right. Just keep moving it the way we've been doing it. We're doing a good job that way.
Pistol formation, 4th and 6 from the 44. Some motion, straight drop. Here comes the blitz. McNeil steps up. He'll do the jump pass, tip, but caught by Moding. Right side, inside the 35, slammed down by Sheldon. I think Sheldon's the one who actually tipped it, and Moding just stayed with it, and it's a first down for the Huron Tigers. The ball up to the 38-yard line, 34-yard line, excuse me, of Yankton. So that's a gain of 10 on the play, 11. And here on a first down with 30 seconds to go here in the first quarter. Clock doesn't stop. Well, we're going Wildcat for the first time tonight. Caudill takes the direct snap, goes off right tackle, and he runs into number 4, Tucker Gilmore, and that pretty much stopped the play right there, and that might be our final play here of the first quarter. No gain on the play, it looks like, for Cashin. I will give him a yard. And I would imagine the clock's going to run out. It will. After one quarter, Yankton 7, Huron 0. We'll take a timeout. 1 minute on Dakota Sports, Tiger 95.
Energy is the fully transparent, fully loaded, feel-good energy drink you've been waiting for. No sugar, no artificial colors, epic focus, complete performance. Pick up a can of Ghost Energy distributed by Elwine Brothers at Fair City Foods, Carlson's, Super X, Southside, Freedom, DJ's Travel Center, Lewis Drug, Thunderbird, and Corner Pantries in Huron. Elwine Brothers wishes the Huron Tigers best of luck. Go Tigers! The school year places a heavy demand on your child's eyes and vision. Make sure your child has an annual back-to-school comprehensive eye exam. A child's physical development, academic, and athletic performance are all largely dependent on their vision. As children grow older, their eyes grow too. 80% of everything a child learns is through their visual pathways, so unnoticed visual problems can impact a child's capacity to learn. Don't put off your child's eye exam. Schedule an appointment with Dr. Kyle Porish today. Tiger 95 and 1340 KIJV.
Ready to start the second quarter. Huron getting their best drive of the game so far. They'll have it 2nd and 10 from the 33-yard line right in front of us now. Pistol and McNeil straight drop. Going to throw long, far sideline. Just overthrown. Ooh. Trying to hit Ganey. Goble was back there with him. Had a chance. Just slightly overthrown. It'll be 3rd and 9 from the 33-yard line. Don't mind the call at all because they had a single coverage there with Ganey, and he can go up and make a play, just a little too much air under it.
Well, it was so close, but like I say, that was perfect timing trying that one.
And really 3rd and 9, but this is 2-down territory for Huron. You don't necessarily have to get the entire 9, but would like to at least cut some of the yardage down. Third and 9 from the 33-yard line. Pistol. And the handoff up the middle, and that's Landon Holst, the sophomore, got the carry. Didn't see him check in, and he'll get about 4 yards on the play up to the 29-yard line, and it'll be fourth down. Well, they mark it at the 30, so gain of 3 on the play for Holst. It'll be fourth and 6 for Huron. Obviously, they'll go for it here from the 30-yard line. So Landon Holst got the carry there. Did not see him check into the backfield. Now, Caudell is back in, and he's at the pistol back right behind McNeil on 4th and 6 from the 30. Motion is moting. Left to right. Roll out to the right. McNeil looking. Throws short, and the pass one-hops the receiver. I think that was Leyendecker. He was open, but it kind of one-hopped him. And incomplete, and Huron will give the ball up on downs. Yankton will take over with 11-12 to go here in the first half. But Huron had the ball for about 9 minutes in that first quarter. That is one thing Huron wanted to do. And first and 10 here, and quickly got to get my stats up as Yankton is ready to run the play. Rolling out Camshaw, looking deep, gets away from Johnson, still rolling. Throws short, and the pass incomplete, broken up by C.J. Gainey as the pass was intended for Peyton Peterson. Incomplete, it'll be second and 10. So far, Camshaw not as efficient as he was to start the game. I think he was 7 of 7 to start the game passing. Huron has tightened up the pass defense here to start the game tonight. Second and 10 from the 30, motion, and they'll flip it to the motion man. Connor Slaba turns the corner, 35, cuts forward, and he's close to the first down. Tripped up by Gavin Moding, but he's right to the 40 in that. Oh, no, do we penalty marker on the play. We're going to bring it back. Penalty on the Yankton Bucks. I think they said number 77, Peyton Eustace. And so 10 yards walked off. First penalty on Yankton tonight, and now they have second and 20 back at their own 20-yard line. So you get a break there. Now you need to pay dividends on second and long. Here comes a big rush by Huron. Short pass. The pass complete to Ness. And just tripped up by Leyendecker. Huron came with a full blitz. And Camshaw got it out of his hands quickly. And Ness made the catch. And they get 18 yards. Set up third and 2 from the 38-yard line. Get a lot of it back. Goble in motion on third and 2. And handoff straight up the middle, and he is stopped. Cirque ran into a host of Huron Tigers led by Connor Johnson. I saw Hofer in on the play as well. And it'll be fourth and 3 after a loss of 1 on the play. And Yankton's keeping the offense on the field here at 4th and 3. They did change some personnel. Now they have 4 receivers to the left. You might see the bubble screen there. Now they bring a man back into the backfield. Long count. They might be just trying to draw Huron off. Now a couple steps back, and they're going to do the quick kick by Camshaw. Nobody's back deep to receive. Bounces at the 30 and actually takes a bit of a Huron bounce and will be downed at the 35-yard line. So far, so good. Huron Tigers, this game, now they are down 7-0, but this is how the Huron Tigers wanted this to play out in the first half.
Well, exactly. We keep time possession. We're doing really good there, and we're making them sit on the sidelines of their offense. It's what we got to do.
Defensively, the Tigers have made some plays. Offense has ground out a few first downs. You got to get yourself the big play here. First and 10 from the 35-yard line. That drizzle is steady. Again, you look up in the lights, you can just see it drifting a little bit right to left from our vantage point. First and 10 from the 35-yard line here on Tigers. Straight drop for McNeil. He's under some pressure, trying to get away from it. Looking, he'll throw it away. Got outside the pocket, was forced out by Krall, I believe. Seems like I call his name a lot on defense. Incomplete, it'll be second and 10 from the 35-yard line. I think that's the rule that high school brought in last year that college and pros had for a while, where if you get outside the pocket there, you can throw the ball away as long as you get it up to the line of scrimmage. Second down and 10 from the 35-yard line. Two receivers right, one left. Pistol formation, handoff. Caudell, not much going off right side. Maybe a yard or two on the play as plenty of red jerseys there. Last man off the pile for Yankton was Donald Rounds. Gain of two on the play. 12th carry already for Caudell. Third and 8 for Huron from the 37-yard line. 9:19 to go in the first half. Yankton 7, Huron 0. A Huron fumble is what led to Yankton's score. And now we have a whistle and a timeout Huron. Timeout Huron, 9:08 to go in the first half, 7-0. We'll take a timeout, 30 seconds on Dakota Sports.
The Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron is your ultimate destination for fun and fitness. Challenge yourself and get fit with a fitness class that fits your schedule. The Nordby Center offers water classes, weight and cardio classes, bicycle spin classes, and more. Group fitness classes are led by the Nordby Center's expert instructors. Sign up for a fitness class today. The Nordby Center for Recreation, where the fun never ends.
Dakota Sports KIJV, 1340 AM and 95.3 FM.
Timeout here on Tigers as Coach Strand wants to get up the best play possible here. Would like to keep possession going, not give the ball back to Yankton this quickly. And Corky, so far so good. Defense has really played outstanding here in the first half. Offense has had their moments, but boy, it'd be great to get something put together here. But a third and 8 is going to be tough.
Well, like I say, we're very capable of doing it. Just take a chunk here. That's all we need to do, guys.
Straight drop for McNeil. Going to throw far sideline
like
and
like
coming
it.
Back to it. And in and out of the
yes.
hands. Flag on the play. It'll be a first down here on. Intended for Ganey, who seems to be pretty much in the middle of everything anyway. Now the officials are having a little conference. I assume this is going to go on Yankton.
Well, if you can't, you can see it from up here what he did.
Now I think they're. Well, that was strange. Okay, I think they're just calling for another football. The one official was waving the football as if it was a.
I got a weapon.
They're going to wave it off, but I thought they're going to wave it off, but it is pass interference on Yankton, and Huron will get the first down, second penalty, 25 yards, and Huron will mark the ball first and 10 at the Yankton 48-yard line. There's a break. Need to capitalize. Handoff straight up the middle is Caudell to the 45, fighting for an extra yard or so. He'll get about 3 yards on the play. We'll call it 4. Second down and 6. Again, Huron with a big time of possession advantage, and that is the exact recipe this team needs here tonight. Second and 6, excuse me, from the 44. 8.5 minutes to go, first half. Yankton 7, Huron 0. Huron with the ball. Pistol. McNeil looks right. Short pass. The pass complete right at the stick. And I believe that's Leyendecker. It's Ganey, excuse me. 18, not 81. And that's another first down for the Huron Tigers. In just a short pass, and right now you just feel comfortable getting the ball to C.J. Ganey any way possible. You're on with their fourth first down of the first half. Actually, fifth. I didn't put one down for that penalty. First and 10, Huron from the 35-yard line of Yankton. Huron again trying to piece together a drive. Pistol, handoff, flag on the play, and about 3 or 4 yards again for Caudell, just running hard on the right side. Flag came in right as the snap. This could actually be an illegal formation on Huron. That's one thing that can happen when they throw it at the snap. Yep, illegal shift on Huron. Second penalty, 15 yards on Huron. That'll make it first and 15 back at the 40. So I was pretty much right on my prediction there.
You always are.
No, I'm not. First and 15 from the 40-yard line. Huron in Yankton territory for a second time, just trailing 7-0 as we're down to 7:39 to go in what's been a very quick first half. Huron's been able to hold that time of possession. Two receivers right, one left on first and 15. McNeil going to keep it, going off right tackle, and he'll get a couple of yards. He's rode down from behind by Edley Amaro. First one there anyway, and a gain of a couple on the play. We're running McNeil a little more than what we have, especially from the beginning of the season. Two on the play for McNeil would be second and 13 at the 38-yard line.
I've noticed on the defense when come out here and the receiver, Goble's always on
Gainey,
and I like that matchup. There's a good height difference there. We have good success there.
Second and 13 from the 38. Straight drop again. McNeil throws over the middle. Hofer has a 20 inside to the 15-yard line. First and 10 Huron, and Colby a little slow to get up, but that was a strike delivered by Colton McNeil. Gain of 20 on the play, and Huron a first down and in the red zone for the first time. First and 10 at the 18-yard line. 6.5 minutes to go in the first half. And Huron, their best, deepest penetration in Yankton territory tonight. Now first and 10 at the 18-yard line. Pistol formation. Straight ahead, Caudell. Big hole, 15-10. Down to the 5. First and goal, Huron. Big hole up the middle. Cashton ran hard, 13 yards. And Huron has it first and goal at the 6-yard line.
You talked about earlier, don't try to pick your spot. Just put your head down and go. That's the success you can get.
First and goal from the 6. Caudell inside the 5 stacked up there. Maybe gets 2 on the play. On the stop for Yankton, Donald Rounds and I believe Carson Conway. Looks like they're just going to give him a yard on the play to the 5. It'll be second and goal from the 5. These can be the hardest, the toughest yards to get when you get inside the 10-yard line, because from a passing standpoint, you just don't have a lot of space. Second and goal from the 5. Best scoring chance for Huron. 5:20 to go, first half. Yankton up 7-0. Huron threatening. Throw, far side, and I think it was deflected. They were trying to get Lyondecker, or Gainey, at the pylon, but I think that was deflected at the line because it went nowhere near anybody.
Exactly.
Going to be third and goal from the 5, and I don't think Huron's thinking field goal here is all. They don't get it here, they'll go for it on fourth down. Clock stops with 5:13 to go here in the first half. Third and goal from the 5. The miss continues. Straight ahead is Caudell. Bounces it off, goes right, moving the pile. Gets maybe to the 2 or 3, and it's going to be fourth and goal for Huron. Where are they giving? They're going to spot it at the 5. He got further than that. Gain of 2, fourth and goal from the 3-yard line, and as expected, Huron Tigers going to go for it here. 4:45 to go in the first half. A big play here for the Huron Tigers. Down 7-0, and they put a nice drive together. Have to convert here. Fourth down, McNeil. Plow action, put in the middle and knocked away. They tried the quick dump in the middle off the play action to Hofer, and one of the linebackers stuck a hand up and deflected it, and Huron comes up empty. It'll be first and 10 the other way for the Yankton Bucks. Well-designed play. Colby was open if the deflection doesn't happen, but of course it did. Huron had the ball over 5 minutes on the possession. First and 10, Yankton. Kampshoff in his own end zone here from the 3. Rolls it to the right. Throws short. Wide open on the play, Gilmore. He's got room to run. 25-30. 35 brought down by Moding all the way up to the 39-yard line. Huge play for Yankton. Get it up to the 38, so a gain of 35, and he was wide open when he caught. I think he was surprised how wide open he was. Now Yankton going to use a timeout. Timeout here on. Still a timeout on the field. 4:14 to go in the first half. Yankton a first and 10 up to their own 38. We'll take a timeout of 30 on Dakota Sports.
Vehicle, need a low monthly payment? At Olympic Chevrolet Buick GMC in Huron, it's the least we can do. Leased vehicles mean reduced maintenance costs and tax benefits. Save on a new Buick Encore GX. Lease now only $399 a month. Or choose the 2024 Chevy Trax. Lease for only $299 a month. Drive on the new GMC 1500 Crew Cab. Lease for $642 a month. It's the least we can do. At the new Olympic Chevrolet Buick GMC in Huron. New name, same great service.
You're listening to the Huron Tigers on Dakota Sports KIJV.
We are back at Yankton Crane Youngworth, and Yankton's defense makes a big play. Now the offense has made a big play. They have it first and 10 at their own 38 after a 35-yard completion. And here's the pitch taking wide left. Cirque goes upfield. Not much there, maybe to the 39. Connor Johnson was all over that one again. Connor Johnson has played very well on that D-line here over the second half of the season. Gain of 1 second and 9 at the 39. Yankton quickly back at the line looking to snap, and there's movement. Left tackle move for Yankton. I think Huron jumped a little too, but this will go against Yankton. Third penalty, 30 yards against the Bucks. Call goes against Caden Wayrenek. And now second and 14 for Yankton at their own 34-yard line inside of 4 minutes to go here in the first half. Roll to the right. Kampshoff thinks about pitching, and he's going to be dropped from behind. There that man is again. Connor Johnson going to be a loss of a yard on the play. And will be third and 15 back at the 33-yard line for Yankton. And Yankton getting themselves in position. They're ready to snap the ball, and there's still 27 seconds left on the play clock. Long count, and now back to pass. And Kampshoff throwing it near sideline. Ness, and the ball, who's got it? Nobody does. Nearly intercepted by Moding. Oh, Moding played that very well.
He had the inside, and he had the chance to. Nobody, if he didn't get it, nobody was going to get that ball.
I think he had the look almost like he had the ball in his hands, and Ness might have actually ripped it out. But here on defense, makes the play again. Fourth down, and Trujillo on to punt. And Huron has Gainey and Moding back deep to receive. 3:11 to go here in the first half. Waiting for the snap. It's on target. Here on not much of a rush. Line drive kick comes to the near sideline. White jersey's got to get away from it. They do. It's going to roll inside to 35, be down to close to the 30. But Huron will get the ball. One timeout left. 2:58 to go in the first half. 7-0. Yankton leading. But Huron has had a spirited effort tonight. It would have been so nice to punch in that last drive, but wasn't to be. Now Huron has it first and 10. From their own 31-yard line. But we made so much of playing a team back-to-back, but these two games so far couldn't be more different.
Oh, as opt as you can get. I mean, just night and day difference.
First and 10, Yankton from the 31, or Huron from the 31-yard line. Handed off to Caudill, off tackle to the left, breaks a tackle, 35, up to the 36. Cashin has been getting the tough yards tonight. Good sportsmanship. Crawl helped him up after the play. Ball up to the 37-yard line. Gain of 6 on the play already. Caudill with 17 carries. Be 2nd and 4 for Huron from the 37-yard line. 2.5 minutes to go here in the first half. Second down, and Caudill again off right tackle. Cuts against the grain. He's got the first down. He's got more. 50 still on his feet. 45 and finally down to the 43-yard line. Big play there for Huron. That's a gain of about 19 on the play and another first down for the Huron Tigers. 20 yards will give Cashin on the play, his longest carry of the night. And just like that, Huron's back in Yankton's side of the 50, first and 10 from the 43. Pistol. McNeil throws over the middle of the field, in and out of the hands of Mason Juergens. Juergens been getting a little more time on offense here the last couple of games, and went to the deep post there to him. Incomplete, second and 10, but again, I like the idea.
We're getting our guys open. That's the thing. We're getting out there, getting some distance between us, and those are going to start happening here. We're going to start catching them.
And from a Yankton standpoint, there you know they're still keeping a watchful eye on both Ganey and Moding, and that allows a guy like Juergens to get a chance. Here's a keeper for McNeil. He's going to be stood up. Boy, did he get nailed. Matthew Sheldon just stood him up after a gain of two on the play. Be third and eight from the 41-yard line for Huron. We're down to a minute 42 to go in the first half. I haven't added up my time of possession here lately, but Huron's got a pretty substantial time of possession here in the first half, and that's helped account for the 7-0 score. Third and long. Huron going to keep it on the ground. Not much there. I think that's Hulst. It looks like he passes the 40, gets to the 39. If that was Landon Hulst, gain of two. And it'll be fourth and six for Huron from the 39-yard line. It's like, is the offense staying on the field? They are. You might think about punting it, although we are down to about a minute. We're just about a minute to go here in the first half. So Huron in no hurry, and Yankton, they got their timeouts left, and they aren't thinking about using them here. And right now Huron's showing that they're going to go for it. It'll be fourth and six from the 39-yard line of Yankton. Pistol formation. Long count. And now here I'm going to use their last timeout, just trying to draw them off. We're down to 42 seconds to go in the first half. Yankton 7, Huron 0. We'll take a timeout of 30 on Dakota Sports.
And Ace Lounge is hiring cooks, bartenders, servers, hostesses, and dishwashers. It's a great opportunity. You could work full-time, part-time, make extra money, and big tips. Apply in person at Ryan's Hangar Restaurant and Ace Lounge or online at hangarrestaurantandlounge.com. Join the team at Ryan's Hangar Restaurant and Ace Lounge. Apply in person or at hangarrestaurantlounge.com. Dakota Sports KIJV, 1340 AM and 95.3 FM.
Here on Burns, their final timeout. They have a fourth and six. Will be interesting to see what the decision is here. 42 seconds to go in the first half. Yankton up 7-0. And Huron does look like they're going to go for it, which, again, is an interesting decision. You don't want to give Yankton another chance, even with not a lot of time left, because they do have all their timeouts remaining. So fourth and six from the 39. Motion for Moding. Comes back after going to the middle of the field. Now resets. Long count again for Huron. McNeil kind of looking over to the sideline. I don't think we're still planning to snap it here. 4:03 to go. I think we'll take the penalty and then have Colby Hofer punt it. So, again, just trying to get them to jump off. It wouldn't have been a first down, but it would give you a fourth and one. Now we will bring the punt unit in. Third penalty, 20 yards on Huron, but that was a penalty taken on purpose. I would imagine they probably are telling Colby Hofer, kick it out of bounds. Don't even give Tucker Gilmore a chance. And also Gilmore's back deep to receive the kick, where last week and earlier tonight it was Zarbach with the punt return duties. Oh, I guess I shouldn't have been so quick to put down the penalty. Yankton declined the penalty because they want to try and at least make Colby Hofer kick it into the end zone. So it's still fourth and six. Yankton coming after it. Colby, a quick kick, line drive, and that's going to bounce into the end zone for a touchback. And Yankton will have the ball first and 10 at the 20-yard line with 37 seconds to go in the first half. Yankton up 7-0. Just doing some quick arithmetic here. Huron's had the ball exactly 18 minutes here in the first half.
Well, you couldn't dial that up any better than
that is exactly the strategy. But, hey, you still got to run 37 seconds off here. First and 10, Yankton from the 20. They bring motion. And Kampshoff to pass, looking. He's got time, steps up, going to run. Nope, he's going to throw. Passes nearly intercepted. Jumping again is guess who? C.J. Ganey.
Well, he's just absolutely reading everything perfect tonight.
In Kamchoff, I thought he was going to run, and he had room to run and get some yardage and also get out of bounds. Clock is stopped, though, with 30 seconds left on 2nd and 10 from the 20. Empty backfield for Kamchoff. Two receivers left, one right here on showing blitz. Picked up, throws short, and the pass is deflected by Tyson Fitzer. Incomplete, 3rd and 10 from the 20, 26 seconds left. My Tiger pass defense has done some real work here in the first half, but the job isn't finished here yet. 3rd and 10 with 26 seconds to go here in the first half. And now Yankton's going to take a knee, or at least that's what they're showing. Huron doesn't have a timeout to stop the clock. So Yankton in the formation, and they will take the knee, and that will get us to halftime. Hey, we'll take it. Yankton 7, Huron 0 at the half. Timeout 2 minutes, then back here to Yankton on Dakota Sports, Tiger 95.
Shane Hartman here at Hartman Physical Therapy. I'd like to welcome you to visit our clinic at 2297 Kansas Avenue Southeast in Huron. We provide the care you need for orthopedics, sports injuries, spinal issues, arthritic conditions, and work-related injuries. Our licensed staff will assess the problem, provide the rehab, and get you on the road to recovery. Wishing all area athletes a healthy and successful season. Hartman Physical Therapy, restoring health through thoughtful patient care.
Stop in for a free insurance review with Blaine Anderson of Farmers Union Insurance. Auto, home, farm, life, and business. Become a satisfied policyholder with Farmers Union Insurance. Farmers Union Insurance, Blaine Anderson. 1835 Arizona Avenue, Southwest in Huron.
Looking for personalized apparel such as t-shirts, hats, sweatshirts, hoodies, jackets? PB Sports, of course. How about signs, logos, and vinyl graphics at Pop? PB Sports, of course. Proud sponsor of the Tigers, PB Sports, downtown Huron. For a great meal, count on the Scoreboard on 3rd Street in downtown Huron. Check out their menu at their website, www.scoreboardhuron.com. The Scoreboard, 3rd Street, downtown Huron.
Ensure that essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in South Dakota. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the SDHSAA and the South Dakota Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Wilbur Ellis is a leading provider of innovative solutions in plant protection, plant nutrition, and field technology. They offer premier products and one-on-one relationships with local field experts to help their customers grow. Wilbur Ellis is committed to bringing you and your operation new and innovative ideas. Contact your local Wilbur Ellis specialist today to find out how to maximize your return on investment. Wilbur Ellis wishes all area high school athletes the best of luck this season.